seated. Not the best theme, probably, in the world. Will you repent? You probably all have heard that word repent used. Usually, repent comes out of the mouth and some fist comes out of the air and hits you in the gut. Well, that's not what I'm hoping to accomplish today. I'd like to, though, still take very seriously these words when John says in the wilderness, repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. And why do I want to take it seriously? Because after Jesus is baptized, after he goes into the desert for some time, he too comes out and says the same message that John said, repent, for the kingdom of God will come near. And it's also our second baptismal covenant. Will you turn from evil, and when you sin, repent and return to the Lord? And the answer, of course, is we will with God's help. So let's just think about that for a second. Will you turn from evil, and when you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you? We will with God's help. I think this is such an important message for our time, and let me give you two reasons why I think this is such an important message for our time. The first reason, first story, I am guilty of watching Celebrity Apprentice, okay? These are in the good old days when Donald Trump was a hoot and a holler. Celebrity Apprentice had an episode where one of the contestants, and I don't remember who it was, confessed to having been arrested for driving under the influence. That's a terrible thing. We do not want to drive under the influence. We can do harm to ourselves. We can do harm to others. It's a terrible thing. And this person, this contestant, confessed to having done this. And in the end, Donald Trump gave those famous lines at the end of Apprentice, you're... And the reason why, this is the reason why he gives, because he didn't believe that people can change. I don't believe people can change, he said. You're fired. In our world, we seem to be coming to a place where we're actually, as a culture, starting to believe that people can't change. We're seeing that in how we deal with prisoners, especially convicts who are now released into the public, and we want to make sure, name and shame them. We're seeing it how we deal with people who are struggling with addiction, how we want to name and shame them. People who are bad can't be good, and people who are good can't be bad. This is a cultural phenomenon that's growing and growing and growing. And it seems to me evident in this line from a Celebrity Apprentice, I don't think people can change, you're fired. The second story, the reason why I think this message is important, comes from an article I read about algorithms, of all things. I have no idea really what an algorithm is, so bear in mind that. Keep that in the back of your mind. There are algorithms that are used by social media, like Facebook, in order to be able to anticipate what you would like to see. So if you're on Facebook, who here is on Facebook? What a great thing. What a great tool for us to connect in this world. If you're on Facebook and you press that like button, have you pressed that like button before? Yeah. There are algorithms, mathematical equations, after you press like a certain amount of times, that your wall, your feed, will only show you things that you generally like. And then if you keep pressing like, it says, this article said, that Facebook will start to know you better than your family knows you. And if you keep pressing that like button, Facebook will even know you better than you know yourself. That the algorithms are so tight and clever, they can anticipate what you would like to see. It's a rise in our culture of this kind of determinism. The idea that we have no free choice, no free will. We are merely players on a stage using a script that's already written, and we just have to go along with it. And the proof are these algorithms. where Mike Zuckerberg knows you better than you know yourself. There's no free will. People can't change. There's no free will. Two messages that are rising to the surface in our culture, and they are antithetical to Scripture and to the Christian way of life. We can change, and we do have a choice and a say in this world. When the ancients were meditating on their existence and how their behaviors were affecting their neighbors and the world and wondering about the systems that we participate in that seem to inevitably lead to violence, when the ancients were meditating upon this, nevertheless, they wrote stories like Cain and Abel, where Cain is given a choice. You don't have to harm your brother. Be careful, Cain. Sin is crouching at the door. You have a choice. We have stories of the children of Israel walking through the desert, and God puts the path before them. Choose left, choose right, choose my way. You can do it. People can change. People have free will. We have stories like David. Oh, that famous David who just made bad mistake after bad mistake, who's an icon of someone who we should be like because he keeps changing. He doesn't give up. He keeps changing. And we have stories in the New Testament of Paul, who was once Saul, who hurt people in the name of God, and he had a vision, and he stopped. He changed. He could choose something differently. In a culture where we're starting to distinguish good people from bad people almost in a complete, ultimate sense, and when we're starting to suggest we have no free will, that life is just a determined roadmap that we just walk in without any sense of participation, when that culture is raised up, we have to say, wait a second, no. That's not what we believe. We believe that people can change. And we believe we have a say in the matter. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near, is a message that says, you and I can change. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near, is a message that's given to remind us that you and I have a choice in how we walk in this world. Repent. Will you turn from evil? Will you, when you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? We will. God's help. Do you know why? Because we actually can. We actually can change. We actually can participate in good ways in this world, not merely subject to cycles of violence and hate and discrimination. We actually can get out of it, and this is how we might be able to do it. Here are four practical, maybe, steps to change. I think the first thing we need to do as human beings, as followers of Christ, as Christians, if we want to participate in change, and if we want to participate in exercising free will in this world, we need to be humble. And this is my definition of humble. We need to actually know who and what we are. Who are we? Well, we're two things. We're creatures created in the image of God, made of dust. Fragile human beings made of dust. We don't have the whole scope of life. We don't have the ability to be able to understand all things at all times. We are mortals. We are not immortals. And the second side of that coin of who we and what we are is that we are God's beloved children. We're dust, and who is it who's saying we're stardust? We're created in the image and likeness of God. as the dove came and descended on Jesus at his baptism and said, "You are my beloved, my chosen, with whom I am well pleased." That happens every time we do baptism. The Spirit of God falls down, and the Spirit of God will come down on little Nathan to say that you are my beloved child with whom I am well pleased. We need, as followers of Christ, to be humble. That is, to know we are dust and to know we are God's beloved children. That's very important. Know who you are. There's an ancient temple in the ancient world where it had the phrase, just as you were entering in, it said, "Know thyself." So I ask you, know thyself. Know who you are as you live your life. Know you are dust and know you are God's beloved child. This is the first step, I think, in change, in repentance, in free will. The second thing I think we need to be able to do is this thing called confession. What is confession? Confession is telling the truth. That's all it is. Confession is actually answering the question when someone says, "How are you doing today?" and not just saying, "Fine." You're not confessing anything there. Confession is saying, "Oh, my heart leaped with joy when I saw Nathan be baptized." Confession is standing up and saying, "I love you." Confession is standing up and saying, "I believe in you." Confession is standing up and saying, "I did something that harmed you." Confession is standing up and saying, "I'm sorry." And if we want to participate in change, in free will, we have to get, as human beings, better at confessing. Confessing that we're dust. Confessing that we're children of God. We hold it in so much. We're worried that people will find out that we are merely dust. We don't want anyone to know the things we have done. We don't want anyone to know how we're feeling. We need to confess. The third thing we need to know or to do is be baptized. Who here has been baptized? Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for being baptized. Why are we baptized? Well, we're baptized for many reasons. One, because Grandma was baptized, right? That's one of the reasons. We're also baptized because we want to make a new beginning. A new entry into the life of the community. But whether it's because Grandma wants you or because you want to, this is why we're baptized. Because then we get to walk in the life of Christ. If we want to participate in change and in free will in this world, we need to start walking the life of Christ. That's what baptism is all about. We imitate Jesus. Jesus was baptized. Jesus walked a new way, a way that said you have a say in this world, a way that said you can change. And the fourth thing we need to do is imitate Christ. We need to do what Christ did. And this takes careful study of the stories of Jesus. Prayerful reflection on how we might take what Jesus did and apply it to our lives. If Jesus was baptized, maybe we too can be baptized. If Jesus confessed to being a human, fully human, maybe we too need to confess that we're fully human. If Jesus fed people who were hungry, maybe we need to feed people who are hungry. If Jesus helped people who were sick and in need, who couldn't see, who couldn't walk, maybe we need to help people who are sick, who don't understand, who can't comprehend things and can't get the next step, can't take the next step. Maybe we need to follow Jesus. If Jesus walked the way of the cross, maybe we too need to walk the way of the cross. It's four things. Know who you are. Confess. Be baptized and imitate Christ is the Christian antidote, I think, to an insidious cultural phenomenon that suggests that this world is divided between good and bad, and that we have no say in the matter whatsoever. Let's resist it. Will we resist evil? We will, with God's help. And let's say you dip your toe in it one day. Let's say you make an error. Let's say you harm yourself or someone. Will you repent and return to the Lord? Because you can, through Jesus Christ, our friend and our helper. I would like to invite Nathan. Yeah, go find Nathan. He's important to this part of the service. There he is. Yeah. And Nathan's family and sponsors just to come up here.